It's Friday, October 28th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. I got a lot of things to say, folks. Better strap in. This is going to be one you won't forget. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, folks, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. I am Todd Cochran, your host, and welcome to the show. Did I get your attention? And yes, I have some things to talk about tonight, but welcome to all of our long-term subscribers. Thanks for being with us and staying subscribed and filling your day full of enjoyment by listening to the show. For all the new listeners, thanks for checking us out. Make sure that you check out all our great content over at geeknewscentral.com, and you check out all our archive podcasts. Be sure to subscribe to the mailing list. There's a link to it in the second column on the website, so you can be first in getting all the show notes and links to the show, basically the commentary that we talk about on here every show. So I hope everyone has had a terrific week. Thank goodness it's Friday. That's right. It's ready time for the weekend, and I told my wife yesterday, I said, I need a break. I really do. I really need a break. But I think we're going to take a couple of days off this weekend. I'm going to push the keyboard away and turn the computers off, maybe shut the cell phone off, and just walk away from everything for a few days. And that'll be good for me to regroup and get the batteries recharged for the upcoming exciting events that are forthcoming. This morning, as I was getting around to go to work, I was planning out my day, and I realized I had a midterm to take. I had a couple of meetings to go to in the afternoon, so I was trying to get all my schedule set up, and the phone rang. It was real early, and I had actually just gotten out of the shower, and my wife said, hey, honey, it's Bert's on the phone. And Bert, who's calling me this early in the morning? It's Bert. And it turned out to be Bert Loom, one of our podcasters here in Hawaii. He's a consultant, travels all over the world doing great stuff, and he says, Todd, one of the other podcasters, Peter Kay, cannot make it today to the podcasting session we're going to have at the Hawaii Telecommunications Association annual conference. And can you come down and fill in? And I had originally, I was working and had originally not, I wasn't a member of HTCA. So I said, yeah, I'll see what I can do. And I made a few calls and I was able to go down and join the session this morning. But Roxanne Darling, who is a podcaster here in Hawaii, and Ryan Ozawa, who has the, if you guys have been watching in iTunes, there's a podcast that is done for Lost, and he's the host of that show, and that show's done terrific. He's in a top 10 iTunes list right now. I recommend you check that. If you're a Lost fan, check that show out. But anyway, we had an hour of basically discussion to Hawaii telecommunication leaders on, talk on podcasting, and it went real well. We had a great time. I think the archive of it's, they actually recorded it, so it'll be up here at some point. I'll get that up for you, get a link to it so that you guys can check out what we had to say. But it was quite an enjoyable event, and I got to play hooky for work for half a day. But I did have to take my midterm, so I took it this morning right after, almost immediately after he called me. Had to go online and knock that out real quick in about an hour. The professor, 43 questions in an hour, and the first five of them were essay questions. I was a little bit panicking. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I got done in time. So, but a pretty full day, pretty full week. We've had a lot of things going on. And then this afternoon, we had kind of our final meeting before the launch of the Podcaster News Network. We had our podcasters in, had some discussion about what we're going to do for the launch and the game plan and the rollout. That went real well. Interviewed some people for some positions. And so I felt like I've been talking all day. But back in my mind has been sitting some thoughts on a podcast I heard a couple of days ago. And I'm sure you guys will all figure out who I'm talking about here, but I'm not going to name names, but why not? I was listening to the Daily Source Code, and I heard Adam Curry talking about replying to people's comments about, you know, hosting issues with podcasts and not being able to get statistics. And, you know, Adam was making these comments about, yeah, it's a real problem. No one knows how many people are listening to their shows, blah, 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 blah. And it kind of steamed me a little bit in the fact that you have companies like Libsyn who host the file for this show, Libsyn.com, who has went to extraordinary lengths to provide terrific statistics for podcasters. I mean, absolutely terrific statistics. Then you've got individuals like Kevin Devin, who does a great show, who built a tool for the community called Podstats. And if you Google Podstats and Kevin Devin, you'll find the tool. And then another guy by the name of Chuck Tomasi that built another tool to take the XML file that Libsyn creates and pull that out, and it converts into a Apache type log file. And then you can run Podstats on it, and you get these great stats. Excel spreadsheets just breaks it out show by show. And you can't ask for anything better. You know what your audience is doing. As long as you have access to the log files for your server that your files are being hosted on, or if you can pull that Libsyn file, we can tell you today, you can do it yourself. You just go out and get these tools. You open a DOS window up on your PC. You learn how to, there's just a real simple command line thing for it. It's a piece of cake. Chuck's tool's even easier. It's Windows driven. Okay. It just made me frustrated that podcasters don't know that there's tools out there available. Okay. And I hear all kinds of things being expounded upon where there's obviously either Adam's not paying attention to the community and doesn't know what's going on with the rest of us that are out here creating stuff, and he's stuck in his own world. I don't know. I really, really don't. But I find it frustrating that podcasters are, you know, have these concerns. So if you're a podcaster, you having problems with your stats, you send me an email. Okay. You send me an email. I'll point you at the resources. We'll get you hooked up. We'll find out what your shows are doing. And you'll know, okay? You won't have to guess, okay? And obviously, I'm ranting here, and I'm going to bite my tongue. I'm not going to say anything anymore. But let's just, you know, be aware that there's a lot of activities going out. There's a lot of people doing great things outside of the pod show community. I don't doubt for a minute they're doing great things. I have no doubt that they're going to announce something that's going to blow us all away. I'm sure, you know, all of us out here that have been working 20 hours a day to, you know, get a whole bunch of stuff going, I'm sure we're all going to get slaughtered in the process, but it's okay. It's all fun. You know, we're having a good time, but I wish people would just kind of do a little research and look out for themselves and not rely, you know, come on. He doesn't give us everything. You know, you're doing your own shows. Be responsible for your own podcast. Okay. All right. Second thing, I'm wanting to get an access to this Windows Media Player podcasting development that's going on at Microsoft. If you know someone at Microsoft, I'll sign an NDA. I don't care what it has to be, what I have to do that. I think that there needs to be some additional outside community input to what is going on in that development. I'm sure Microsoft's going to do a great job, but you know, I'm hearing rumors that a few people are getting access to it. It's again, the same select crowd. Now I'm not whining. I'm just saying, open it up. Let some additional people see it. There's other people out here that are doing things in podcasting that can give some input. So I know I've talked a lot about podcasting here today, so I'm going to shut up and we'll get into some content. But hey, for those of you that are amateur astronomers, this weekend, Saturday, you're going to get a close-up look at Mars, okay? I'll put a link in the show notes. It talks about the close approach that we're going to have that you're going to get to see, and the next one's quite a while from now. So if you are into astronomy and you want to check out Mars on Saturday, it'll be the closest to Earth in it for a very, very long time. Okay, what else do I have in this list that I need to talk about? There's some stuff about Web 2.0. I was just basically going to say I'm not buying into this Web 2.0 stuff everyone's saying so far. I kind of agree with Chris Perillo. There's There's a long ways to come. But what I can do is I can save you some money, okay? Who is your number one source for all your internet needs? You guessed it. GoDaddy.com has new domain names, transfers, and renewals as low as $3.99. Plus, check out our hosting plans, website builders, secure certificates, and much more. Act now. Enter code GEEK4, that's GEEK, and the number 4, and you'll save an extra $5 off any order of $30 or more. Thanks for GoDaddy for being the sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay, lots of things going on, a lot of upcoming things, obviously, with Podcast Expo that's coming up. You're all sick and tired of hearing me talk about it. But what we're going to do the week after Podcast Expo, we're going to resume our live roundtable series. We're going to be talking about all the great things, all the cool stuff that we found at the expo, including, I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of announcements. We're going to go and talk about some of those announcements and do some analysis and reviews. So it's going to be a little bit of a podcasting spin for that roundtable. So keep an eye over at techpodcast.com for that. And of course, a word from GoToMeeting. Hey folks, you've got to check out GoToMeeting. Why? Because you can hold meetings right over the net from anywhere. Plus, you can hold all the meetings you want for one flat rate. Try it free for 30 days. No, you don't need a credit card to get started. Just visit gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable. That's gotomeeting.com/tech roundtable to get your free trial now. Okay, lots of listener email, great commentary from everybody, and I apologize. I just have not had time. There hasn't been enough physical hours in the day. Someone cloned me. I have not been able to answer some email, put responses on the link blog yet. So I'm negligent. I'm way behind. I'm sorry. Sue me. there's not enough hours in the day, but I will get to it. I promise. I think I talked about this email before, but I may have missed it. And in case I didn't, because I didn't put the links in the show notes, I want to thank Jack for sending me a link to a website that's great for stock photos. It's called auroraphotos.com. I'll put that link up in the show notes. If I talked about it last show, I apologize. Okay. I got an email from Keith, and I want to say thanks, Keith, for being subscribed for 3 months. And I want to thank you for linking to our site from yours over at peacefulturtles.com. And check out his new podcast as well over there at keithblog.net. So he says, what is the best way to get detailed info from my podcast site? We just talked about it, Keith. I'm sure you were listening. We do a Google search, Kevin Devin, Podstats, PODSTATS, and you'll find that tool. Get your Apache log off your server, and if you don't have it turned on, turn it on, and you'll be able to utilize that tool to find out where you're at on your listener numbers. And also, I'm sure most of your hosting providers have some sort of you can find out what type of traffic you're getting to the website with an application that's typically called Webalizer. That's the one that's most commonly found. Now, my good friend, Christian Stout, he sent me a link to a series of videos that show you how to remove spyware, okay? So thanks, Christian. I really, really appreciate the links to this. I'm going to put this up in the show notes. You guys can go over to Christian's site, and he's over at homenetworkhelp.info. He's a member of the Tech Podcast Network, and there's some videos over there. For those of you that have got spyware issues, make sure that you check out. And guess what? Those were recorded, I believe, in GoToMeeting session. So check that out. But thanks, Christian, for that. Okay, I did get some email from Rebecca, and Rebecca said that on your podcast you spoke about voice IP being blocked and people switching off landlines, and she says, I can't lay my finger on the exact news article, I want to tell you about the town I live in. Her town has an emergency phone call service, and basically what happens is during states of emergency, the town will call all the residential numbers listed in the town, and she doesn't know if it's for the unlisted numbers also, and it gives them an announcement that's, basically the emergency announcement. They'd actually got some complaints from senior citizens that were saying, hey, when the power goes on, I'm not able to get the message because I've got cordless phones. I, over here on my desk, right behind me, I'm tapping it right now, is an old traditional phone that plugs right into the jack. If the power goes out, it will still ring. If you don't have at least one of those in your house, make sure you do. Because if you don't, the next time the power goes out, you're going to say, "Ah, man, why did I sell that phone in a garage sale?" Or worse yet, throw it in the trash. But thanks, Rebecca, for the for that message. She has a little more info in there that says, you know, thinking this forward, voice IP would have the same flaw if these emergency call systems become popular. If the power goes out, the computers, modems, etc., cut off these people too, which is true. And while it's great to ditch a landline, I think in disaster-prone areas, people might want to think twice or at least have a backup plan. And she has some comments on here about Open Office saying it's not necessarily anti-Microsoft that will entice people to check out, but anti, and she's got $3 signs on there, okay? So it's obviously free is good, okay? And she made a comment on a post that we had on the website about censorship of blogs at work. And Mike, where I work at, they do a pretty good job of locking the computers down and us not being able to get access to, you know, sites on the outside. So thanks anyway. Great comments, Rebecca. Thank you for that. One of our very dedicated listeners. I got a lot more great email, but I just want to wrap it up by saying, Brian and Tom, thanks for the comments on this Steve Gilmore article, which was bylined by another person. I do appreciate those comments back. Don't have time to go into those, what you've said in detail, but I believe what both of you say, your comments are dead on. I want to thank you for that. And for John that sent the email, give me some suggestions for the show. I do appreciate those, and I've already sent you some email back on that. Okay, I've got a lot of great content tonight, and I need to get buzzing. We're already at 17 minutes here, so we're definitely running long, but I had a lot of great listener email on this, came in this week. Okay, for those of you that work in the IT sector and have servers that you have to manage, I am sure that you maybe have seen, hopefully you've seen this article already. It's an eWeek article that talks about a DNS survey which found a widespread vulnerability. And it boils down to DNS servers having some issues. And for those of you that are not familiar with DNS, we're not even going to get into it. But those of you that are, you know, handle servers and do this in your everyday job, you need to go over here and check this out, because they're saying that nearly 84% of the servers that they surveyed, of 1.3 million servers they looked at, had this vulnerability and is could be susceptible to a farming attack. So if this is your business, get over here and read this. And I'm sure you're all smart geeks out there. Make the changes you need to shore up your DNS so that your servers are not going to be susceptible to this farming attack. All right, great article on the BBC. Microsoft aims to trounce Google. It's an interview with Bill Gates. And he is saying that within the next year, watch out, Google, here they come. Apparently, they've got some stuff going on that is going to improve the search capability of their search engine. We will see. And it's kind of curious. You know, Bill hasn't given up the fight. I'm looking at his picture of him, and he's got a few wrinkles, a few more than me, actually. I'm kind of happy to say that. He does go on to say, though, that in the next 10 years, we're going to see more software breakthroughs than we've seen in the last 30. I could agree with that. But he also has a little bit of bitterness in that Apple is just whipping their butt on the music front. But he goes on to say that, hey, we're not in the device business, we're in the software business. So it's up to our, you know, those that we work with, the vendors we work with, to come out with a device that's going to stop Apple. But speaking of Apple, guess what I have on my desktop? I've got something that's 60 gigs here, okay? A little wider screen. Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm not going to describe opening the packages like Adam did, okay? But great article on BBC. And it's always interesting to see what Bill Gates has to say. And even though it's a corporate talk, we'll see if he's all talk and no do. All right. Over on Engadget. Hey, they have got probably what I'm terming the article of the day, in that they have an analysis of the $1.99 video download for the Apple iPod video. And this is quite the quite the analysis. And I don't know. I think I may agree with a lot of this. They're saying that, obviously, we all know we're all a bunch of couch potatoes. We watch a lot of TV. I actually don't. I don't have no time for TV. I think I've watched 1 or 2 hours in the last couple of weeks, and that was a movie. But average Americans watch up to 8 hours of TV a day. Can you imagine that? 8 hours a day. And where this long tail of this whole thing boils down to on these $1.99 videos is that when NBC has a super popular show, let's say, and it has a high market share on a primetime night, when people are laying down on the couch and they got the TV show on, typically what happens and what they found is the channel that they land on, they stay on. So what the networks will do is they'll sneak in a lower rated show in between maybe two higher rated shows, place that in between so that the ad revenues that they're able to get on the two higher shows will be, you know, kind of they'll have a high profit margin on that low show because they'll be able to demand the higher advertising revenue because of people who just don't click off. Now, I don't know about you, ladies. I'm sure your husband click the clicker a lot. I'm guilty of that. My wife absolutely hates me with the remote control. But apparently, and I didn't know this blew me away, that Desperate Housewives gets around $330,000 per 30-second slot. There are approximately 17 minutes of commercials, and there's 17 million people watching that show. So what that means that 64 cents per hour per viewer is what the ad rate is. Geek News Central podcast. How many listeners do I have? I hold you for 45 minutes. You all say that about 80% of you say you listen to the whole show. 60 cents a viewer per show. Wow, that could work. Now, someone find me an advertiser that will pay that much, okay? Please. But, you know, it's a real good point here in that they don't make a lot of money on those shows, but the ones in between they do. So when they're charging three times for a episode of Lost, let's say, to download, it makes you wonder where the price differential is there. But this is one article that goes through and analyzes down into dollars and cents. And it boils down to, if you replace all the TV that you watched every month strictly through Apple, you'd pay $486 per month. Obviously, you're not going to do that. But video bloggers and people that are video podcasting, I know those of you that are video podcasting hate that word, but those of you that are, hey, here's your opportunity. Get busy, get out recording, make some compelling content, film my iPod video with videos that will be cool to watch, and I'm sure the rest of you will watch some of this type of stuff too, but video is a lot harder to do than podcasting, audio podcasting, that's for sure. And you guys don't want to see my ugly mug on a video anyway. I'll be quite honest with you. You'll be like turning it off. Like, please, you're going to break my screen. Okay, those of you that have fifth generation iPods, if you want to upgrade for a limited time, Apple's replacing 5Gs for almost any reason. My iPod is locking up, or battery time is real short, or mysteriously it doesn't work. Here's your chance. If you've got a fifth generation iPod, go trade up or trade in or whatever it may be. So, don't know how long this is going to last. So don't smash your, iPod before you go to the Apple store. Okay. All right, as you all know, I use Movable Type on my website. I love the application. It is what I will be using for a very long time. Although the creators of Movable Type, which is Six Apart, they have a service called TypePad, and I'm sure many of you are using TypePad. It appears that their growth has been very, very good. They've got a lot of subscribers, and the hosting service that they were with, or where all their servers were at, the facility ran out of power. They couldn't plug any more servers in, so they have found a new hosting location and are moving all their servers, and that move has not went well. So those of you that are TypePad users may have noticed a performance lag or not being able to reach your sites. It's been a bad month, and they're saying relief is on the way. They've ordered lots of equipment to go in the new server room, and they have a very public apology for it. So Y'all that are using TypePad, I'll have the link up in the show notes and may explain some of this. Mina Trott, who is one of the leaders over there, owners actually, she's got the comments up, and of course Ben Trott is has the details. So a relief is forthcoming. Okay, all right, you astronomy bus, one more time. Cool 3D imagery of the moon now available via NASA's Whirlwind. This is so cool. You guys want to go check the moon out? This is where you got to go. All right, link will be in the show notes. I found this on Search Engine Watch, and great write-up on it. But it's a 3D. It's just you know, like flying around the moon. It's pretty cool. So I think it really does beat Google Moon. But anyway, I think you guys will get a kick out of it. Now, I've always had this aversion for RFID tags. And the company I used to bash on a lot on RFID was Walmart, because they were the ones that really was the first superstores to really employ RFID tags. And these radio transmitting inventory tags are allowing Walmart to basically carry less stock. So the classic example I use is Gillette razors, because Gillette razors, all when you open the package up, inside is a little RFID tag that's pasted in there. So as a consumer pulls, you know, a Gillette razor off the shelf, the sensor on the shelf detects that it's missing one, and it updates inventory. So as inventories get low, not only can the associate at Walmart go restock the shelf, but they can also automatically reorder. Well, Walmart's pushing a lot of their suppliers, hey, get with the ball, with the game here, and get RFID tags on your products. And they want like an additional 200 suppliers to do that by January. Now, privacy buffs have a real problem with RFID tags, because they believe they can be sensed when they're in your home. So in other words, a company can drive by and say, oh yeah, they buy Gillette, they buy this kind of toilet paper, they buy this, this, and this, and this, and get a kind of a read on what type of a consumer you are. Now, I don't know how much truth there is to that. I think there's a little bit of hocus pocus there because of the transmitting capability of these things and what is required to do that. But it's not going to be too long when you're just going to, you know, you're going to roll up to a checkout counter, and instead of scanning your stuff, you're just going to roll your cart by, I'm moving my chair here, that's why the echo happened. You're going to roll your cart by the checkout counter, and it's going to automatically register what you've got in your cart, and it'll total it immediately, and you pay. So not only will know exactly what you're buying, you know, it just bugs me a little bit. Now they already can know what you're buying by what you're scanning, and it can cross check by your credit card. And I've had some people on this listen to the show say, no, they don't do that, but they know us pretty well. And these RFID tags are just going to become more prevalent. They say they're going to be embedded in clothes, high-end clothes for being used in, a laundromat. So when laundromats do your dry cleaning or whatever they may be doing, they know that whose clothes belong to who, and it just makes, you know, organization much, much easier. So we're going to see a lot more on RFID tags. What do you guys think about RFID tags? Are you worried about the privacy issue? Are you worried about someone driving by your house and possibly scanning your house to see what you have in it? Okay, for those of you that are bloggers, something I haven't, I just saw this today, and I haven't had a chance to play with it. You may see a new button on our website now. It's called a button share by Yahoo. Now, I know a lot of you that read the website use Yahoo quite a bit, but all it is a little piece of code that we're going to put on our site. That if you see something you like, you click on it, and it goes over and it saves to my web on Yahoo. So this is kind of interesting. I'm going to have to play with this a little bit. It's a social media tool, and you can find more information about it over at publishers.yahoo.com. I have a link to it in the show notes. You know, it's a web 2.0 type of deal where you're going to be able to grab content off my site and kind of archive it immediately on yours, either privately or publicly. Very cool development by Yahoo. What are they going to do next? There is a article by John Battelle, and his website is battlemedia.com, And the article on this is Google-based. Structured vertical domain search ain't the free web. And he was talking to a gentleman that works in a company that does a very specific search in a vertical industry. In other words, they really look for certain information that they're that basically their customers are looking for, where they specialize in looking for a specific item. So they were, and they have a, apparently this company, doesn't say who, has a great, great database of information. And Google approached them and said, hey, why don't we work together and I'll take all of your content and I will archive all that. And in return, we're going to drive a lot of traffic to you. And that was kind of their deal. And the company kind of thought about it a little bit and said, no. If you do some sort of ad revenue sharing with us, maybe. But Google didn't bite, so they didn't do any consider any more dealings with them. So some of you may have already seen this, but there is a rumor of a site coming out. Matter of fact, they made it live, the page to it live for a few hours. It's called Google Base. And the company is kind of reflecting and saying, oh, that kind of looks like maybe where they would have stuck our data. So there's been some rumors going around about Google Base, and people want to know what it is. My prediction is it's going to be kind of a competition to Craigslist, or and other people are saying eBay, but it's going to be a database-driven application that's going to run in Google, obviously be indexed, and they're going to sell ads to it, the whole nine yards, I'm sure. But, you know, just imagine if you're starting to transfer database stuff that you have to Google. When are we going to really step back and say, do we really want to be doing all this with Google all the time? Do we want to be sharing this information? We're already sharing a lot. We're doing Gmail with them. You know, we're playing the AdSense game. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But very, very compelling what he has to say here. And I'm sure this company is glad that they didn't proceed with any deal with Google. But you know, they're the big kids on the block right now. We'll have to watch and see. I know that many of the listeners to this show use Flickr. There was an announcement today on their weblog that says that you now can order photos through Flickr. You can do one of two things. You can order them online and have them delivered, or you can have them actually picked up at your local Target store. The closest Target store that is here in Hawaii, I think, is about 5,000 miles away. We don't have a Target store here, so we'll have to have ours delivered. I haven't seen the pricing on them yet to see how it competes with traditional services like Costco and other printing facilities, but they do have it available, and I guess it's was like asked for like 15,381 times. So for those of you that are Flickr users, drop me a line if you have some printed. Let me know how they turn out, okay? All right, Doc Searle's over on his weblog. He is got some questions, and it's just basically a question. He says, where? Why do Yahoo blog search results pile up in a column on the right where they look like advertising? If you do, if you click on his link that he's got here, it brings up the Yahoo News search on the big bulk area, and then over on the right, it looks like the blog entries just look like advertising. Hey, guess what, Yahoo? If you're going to put our results over there, I'm going to have people click on them, make them look like advertisements. Send me some money when people click on the articles, okay? He did do some side-by-side comparisons of services that Feedster, Ice Rocket, Google Blog Search, and Technorati. And I do this every day. I have about 400 search terms that I have spread out between those four different search services. And I can tell who's on their game that day and picking up the different postings. So his comment basically was, they're not real close. There's can be some room for improvement here. But a real sharp article. I thought it was a pretty good catch by Doc. You know, a lot of people follow Doc Searle's weblog. Great blogger, of course. How many of you have seen those surgical masks people wear? Do people realize those things are just about worthless? You know, they don't fit real well, and they don't have a... It's just, you know, they're about worthless. They really are. But a company has came to market with a electronic mask to ease breathing. And this looks like if you want to buy something that's going to protect you if this flu thing gets out of control, or if, you know, something happens, this might be the product to have. It's called the electronic mask. and it has a filtration system, and it actually has a form fit over your face, and it will fit tight. This may do the trick. Now, I don't, of course, I'm not going to vouch for its capability to stop germs or anything like that, but this was on Uber Gizmo, and I think it's a lot. If you're going to wear one of those ridiculous masks, you might as well wear this thing and really get some stares, because it's quite the little rig. It really, really is. I know that we've had recently, several of you have sent us emails saying, hey, I've got problems with spyware, help, help, help. And I was a little bit irritated today in that I read an article on Yahoo News, and the title of it is Anti-Spyware Group Publishes Guidelines. I thought, oh man, this would be perfect for the listening audience. I can hook them up and give them, you know, some guidelines that this group has published. Well, Yahoo doesn't have a link to the actual article. They've paraphrased everything here. I'll put the link up to the actual Yahoo article, but tomorrow I've got it already written on a piece of paper to actually go and find the link to the full story so that you can read the all of the content that is in there. And you know, some pretty basic stuff that's in this write-up that all of you are probably already familiar with, and high-risk practices and some things you shouldn't do and some things you should watch out for. So we'll get this linked up, and I'll find the original article. Here's some good news for those of you that do not have a DVR and are a Time Warner customer and like watching shows on NBC. NBC has agreed to let Time Warner viewers start over shows whose beginnings they miss. So say that you are flipping through the channels and you arrive at a program that's already been in progress for 10 minutes, they're going to allow you to hit the reverse button on your Time Warner remote control and back the show up 10 minutes to see the beginning. They're not going to let you fast forward to the commercials. So this is only for those of you that do not have a DVR, and it's basically sent through your cable box back to the Time Warner headquarters or wherever your switch is there in your local area. So, again, just NBC only. So it looks like the networks are starting to budge a little bit in their way that they're allowing you to watch some of their content, okay? And I can't talk any more highly about DVRs because they record all the cool programs when you're too busy to watch like I am now. Matter of fact, I've got about 40 hours of stuff down recorded. I'll probably just delete it all. But anyway, that's some news coming out of the TV front from Time Warner. Okay. I've had a link up here. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Ryan took a picture of me at the HTCA event. I got some a little Aloha wear on and a lei, and just in a fetus, of course, after the presentation. So you guys can see my ugly mug on the website. Okay, we're going to point to a blog that has linked to us on a regular basis. It's Christina Talks About Stuff, and it's christinasstuff.powerblogs.com. I'll put a link to her site, kind of pretty cool articles there. Thanks, Christina, for logging or linking to us. And she does have a video podcast for science, so you guys can check that out while you're over there. And thanks for linking. And, you know, I'm going to try to do this every show. If I find a link in the Technorati search results or one of the other ones, Ice Rocket, whatever it may be, I'll pull it out and drop it in the show notes and make a comment about your show, okay? Or your site. You guys ever go to a boxing match where the announcer comes out and says, "Are we ready to rumble?" You know, they get the crowd all hyped up. Well, are you guys ready to rumble? Because today, Forbes produced a piece in their magazine that is just, they have basically trashed bloggers. I mean, they have just came down and done a full-on body slam. And there's a great write-up over at Boing Boing, and they use some pretty explicit language in here that is child-safe to read. But they do go into the commentary, and I guess the section that got my ire up was that they referred to something that I participated earlier on in the year. Now, how many of you remember when Marquee had their paid-to-blog program? It was a great deal, folks. It really was. They hired 21 of us to blog about their product. We could say anything we wanted to. We could trash the product. And if you remember, I had their CEO on the show. If those of you that have been around for a while, I had their CEO on the show and actually interviewed him. And I was required to write one article a week. And I actually went in and looked at the product and dug into it and found positive and negatives. And I wrote positive and negative things about it. And they paid us to do that. It was great. It was a great gig. We got $800 a month to post items about the product. And we had to link back to them. Well, this drove their Google search rank just through the roof by those of us blogging about it. Well, they weren't stupid. They used it as a marketing campaign, but they allowed us. We announced on the podcast, we announced on the website that we were getting paid. There was nothing being hid. We talked about it straight up front, okay? And it couldn't have been more obvious. Well, they dogged that. Dogged Marquee and the bloggers that did that in this article. But how many times do companies today, and how many times do you have product placements going on in TV shows, in radio, in anything that you see today, product placements that you don't know about that they're getting paid for? They're supposed to say that they are being paid to endorse a product in their, like in a TV or a movie, but no one stays around and watches the credits. It just flips by, right? Click, 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 click. That's how they show the credits. Well, at least we had the integrity to say, yes, we're getting paid, and yes, we're going to give you an honest opinion of what we think about the product. One of the bloggers that was blogging for Marquee dogged Marquee on the program. They did, and they still paid him their money, okay? Well, this isn't the only thing that the Forbes article talks about, and it really goes after bloggers in a very, very unfair way. And for me, I am not going to read any Forbes or subscribe to any Forbes magazine or articles till they come out and give a public apology. I'm kind of doing another one of these little personal boycotts of Forbes. I think it's wrong. It's unfair. You know, sure, there's two sides. Sure, there are people that abuse what they're doing in blogging, but there's other people that try to be honest and straight and have high integrity, but they didn't show both sides of this. They just talked about the bad. And it's called the attack of the blogs. Quite a presumptuous title, don't you think? But I'll link to the Boing Boing article because they're the ones that got my ire up the most when I found the post about Marquee. So off goes the gloves, okay? And we'll let you guys comment. I know a lot of you guys are bloggers. I know you guys read a lot of blogs. And what do you think? Do you think we're deceptive? Do you think we're not telling the truth? Do not bloggers hold other bloggers accountable? Have I said stuff on my blog before where bloggers have come back and said, hey, that wasn't fair and I've made a public apology? Absolutely. Okay, we may not be journalists per se, but we know we're not going to say something that's going to get us sued or thrown in jail. But gosh, what were these guys thinking, really? Now, many of you have written that you don't really care for the Motorola Roker, and I'm hearing rumored that the sales of that thing are just in the toilet. So there's a little bit more coming out about the deal that was made between, you know, Apple and Motorola and what's happened there. And along with Apple allowing some of their licensing to go to some other companies, you know, very few, select few. But a little bit of info on Mac rumors. I'll let you guys check that out. Obviously, Apple was not going to let anyone create anything that was going to impact any of their device sales. They're not going to do it. They really aren't. It's common sense. They're selling millions of iPods. Why would they allow? Sure, they're going to let a company license it, but they're going to put their hands in handcuffs and say, "Oh, you can do it, but you know, you can maybe put 50 gigs or 50 megs worth of songs on this thing or something." It's obvious. I don't understand why Motorola was even talking to him. So check this article out over at Mac Rumors, okay? All right, those of you that are, I've talked a lot about blogs today, okay? And I put my money where my mouth was, and Robin Good produced a great listing of, it's called Maximum Exposure RSS Top 55 Premium. It costs you $9.95. It's a, you get three files. You get a very very great write-up on all the RSS search engines. You get a listing of all of the sites that you should submit your RSS feeds to. It is a mini guide. It is really awesome. And you know that I've been talking highly of Robin's products of his reviews on his site before. So I thought there was nothing more I wanted to do. And I went right over and got PayPal $9.95 to Robin and picked up this mini tutorial. And those of you that have blogs, great way to build traffic on your website, okay? I'm sure some of you geeks out there are sporting GPS in your cars, right? I'm sure you've got the nice little screens with a GPS tracker, shows you where to turn, how to get from point A to point B. Okay, I don't have one of those in my car. You know, if I get lost here in Hawaii, I probably not need to be driving, all right? Because if you get lost, you just kind of look for water and you drive towards it. Okay, so, you know, Oahu is not that big. Now, you get over on the Big Island, you might get lost. I've been in some interesting places over on the Big Island. But an Australian elderly couple were going on a vacation to New Zealand, and they rented a car with one of those GPS systems in it. So they were driving around New Zealand and were trying to get directions to go from one point to another, obviously. And the GPS took them kind of on a little adventure. They ended up like on the side of a mountain on like a goat trail. And there was like a sheer cliff down one side, boiling waters. They were driving through water at time. I mean, they went through quite this adventure. And this GPS took them on quite the little trip, and it diverted them on this 90-kilometer detour. So what the authorities have basically said is they're lucky to have gotten through alive, and that insurance company won't even insure vehicles that are people that live in that region. It's that bad. So some of the other authorities said, well, we don't know why they went down there, because there was warning signs and everything else. But, you know, if you're looking around at the scenery and talking and driving, you can miss a sign pretty easy. But these roads were so narrow, they couldn't back up. So for those of you that are traveling throughout the United States and you're trusting your GPS, make sure you carry a map and as a backup, because you don't want to end up like this Australian couple did in New Zealand, hanging from a cliff someplace, okay? A little humor, and I thought it was pretty funny. Thank goodness that they're okay, and it could have actually turned into a true tragedy. And, you know, what you would have to do, sign a disclaimer that you won't go mudding with your GPS device from Avis. I want to give a shout out to one of our listeners that is from here, from Hawaii, that I met today at the HTCA event. Hey, Paul, yeah, we ran long again tonight, my friend, 47 minutes, so you probably are catching this on your drive home. He said, your shows are long. It only takes me 30 minutes to get from a point A to point B here in Hawaii, and I usually have to stop you and listen to you the rest of the time. But thanks for staying subscribed, Paul. It ceases to amaze me. I run into people all the time and said, I know your voice. I listen to your show, and it's kind of surprising. It really is. But I hope you had a great time at the event today. For the rest of you, hey, thanks. Thanks for being part of our family, being part of our ohana here, as we say in Hawaii. And thanks for staying subscribed. As always, I'll be back with you next Tuesday with a stimulating show and for your listening pleasure and lots more stories and rants and raving and talk. As always, you can reach me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. We're done for tonight, folks. No promos. Didn't get none. You're breaking my heart, so send me some promos, all right? But we'll see you Tuesday. Aloha.